Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Okay, hello, my fantastic, sexy, fantastic, wonderful, and hopefully horny audience. It's your hostess with the mostest. Okay, so first off, I want to just take a moment. I don't think I've given a heartfelt appreciation for you, the audience, in a while. So I just want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for your ideas. I love hearing from you. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Yes, so thank you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for just being you. All right, so you may hear as a little squeaking sound in the background, Muddy has found a toy that makes noise, which I may have to take away from him in a moment. All right. Actually, let's do that. Otherwise, this could be a very annoying podcast. Hold on. Please hold. Okay, so I took his toy, his squeaky toys away. Gave me that look like, what the hell, woman? I'm sure he'll go find some other toy that will squeak. Anyways, okay. So where was I? Oh, I just wanted to say thank you to the audience. Like, I really deeply appreciate you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be doing it. I wouldn't show up. I wouldn't do this podcast. So thank you. All right. So today we're going to talk about maybe not something so sexy, but something very important that affects one's sex life and relationships. Boundaries. Dun, dun, dun. Boundaries matter. So when I put out a call to all of my peeps and say, hey, I need some of my content ideas. One of my clients said, hey, you know, you haven't really talked about boundaries in a while. And they're really, really important. And I was like, you know, that's a great topic. That's a fantastic topic. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's define a boundary. What is a boundary? All right. So a boundary is you asking for something or asking for something to not happen. All right. So for example, here's a boundary. I go to bed at 9. Yes, 9 p.m. This is why I have such a youthful glow. I get lots of sleep. All right. So I've asked the people in my life, please don't call me or ask me to go out for things that are past 9 o'clock. And everybody in my life knows, and they joke about it and we laugh about it, but they all know that Gaia needs beauty sleep and she needs to be in bed by 9. So by telling everybody that, that's a boundary, and asking if people respect that. Now, all the people in my life respect my boundaries because, well, boundaries matter, and people that don't respect boundaries don't get to be in my inner circle. So that's a boundary. And again, anything that you need can be considered a boundary. And important part of when you set boundaries with people is to give them the why. It helps people be like, oh, and also tell them the importance of it. Because then people are like, oh, it's not kind of like, so I'm going to use some kink language. It's not like a soft limit. It's like a hard limit, right? It's for all of you kinksters that know what I'm talking about. Soft lemon is like, yeah, it's not really my thing, but if you need me to, then, or we've negotiated how that can be used, there's some fluidity. Versus a hard limit is like, hell no, never happening. There's no wiggle room. And a boundary, like a true boundary, is hell no, that's a hard limit. It's not happening. And now take my boundary of being going to bed at 9, for example. Now, due to life, sometimes circumstances, say for example, somebody's off asked me to go teach, and often all of the events and things in the world of sex don't start until like 11. I've already been asleep for 2 hours. So somebody may ask me to go do that, and then they're not re disrespecting my boundary. I just was like, okay, well, I got to decide, is it worth it? Do I need to do, I might need to go do some, sleep training for a month or so I can stay up that late. So there's some wiggle room in negotiation, but the problem would be is if they expected me to do it. So that's where we get a little, there's some negotiation wiggle room in some boundaries, is that, again, here's an opportunity. I'm going to leave it in your hands whether or not this works for you, and not expecting that I'm going to say yes because they know I go to bed at 9. Okay. But that's a pretty, that's not like a emotional trigger safety issue. Like, for example, let's talk about a sex boundary. I have a safe sex boundary. There's no wiggle room whatsoever. If I'm engaging in sex without, that isn't with one of my fluid bonded partners, then safe sex is a mandatory. There's no wiggle room. There's no just the tip. There's no nothing. It's like a condom is on anytime a cock is going anywhere near my pussy. That's like a boundary, and there's no wiggle room. And so if somebody were to try to kind of like not, oh, I'm just kind of rubbing it close. I'm like, is there a condom on it? No. And if you d disrespect my boundary, like once, again, even now, I would probably be like, once I'd be like, get the fuck out. I've set a very clear boundary, what that means. So for me, and I think this is where people end up getting into trouble a lot sexually, because I have again, my world's all about sex, and I have all these people in my life that are around sex, and I teach about sex, and more sex. My life's pretty awesome, actually. Anyways, one of the things that I see happening that causes a lot of problems in the world of sexuality is not being able to set a firm boundary. And there's an idea that I can push your boundary is part of the sex appeal, is part of the course of behavior. And we're going to do, I'll do a whole other podcast on course of seduction moves and how it's not cool. But let's get back to the staying on point with boundaries. So when somebody says no, it really is no, not no, maybe, not no, if it's in the right circumstances, no, if it's on a certain day of the week, it's a no. And the person who's setting the boundary, you need to articulate why it's a no. Like, you don't have to go into great detail, but you need to say, this is a boundary. You need to, often when we talk, we don't talk about things that are like, some people talk very little, so when they do, it's really important. Other people talk all the time, and so parts that are really important get missed by others because you talk all the time. So it's important that when you are wanting to set a parameter or a boundary, whether that's in your relationship, sexuality, friendship, family, it's important to say, this is very important to me. It's a boundary. Can you respect it? You need to say those words. by saying those words, you pull the other person out of, oh, you're just yabbering or you're just talking, or it's kind of like it's more of a suggestion versus like, this is really important. Oh, you didn't really mean that, did you? I thought you only meant it this way, right? So when you say it that way, this is a boundary. This is very important. This is a boundary. And can you respect it? You're engaging the person to acknowledge what you're talking about, ask for clarification of what that means. And then they can say, yes, I can respect that, or no, I can't respect that. Because again, just because you set a boundary doesn't mean that others have to respect it. If they want to be in your world, they have to respect it, but it still doesn't mean that they have to respect it. I think this is an important part, especially in our latest culture these days, where everybody has feelings and everybody expects everybody else to respect your feelings and honor your feelings and change how they move in the world. And that's not realistic. Because one person's feelings isn't another person's reaction. Okay. So, and we don't have to respect other people's boundaries. Here's one that kind of is a little bit fluid, right? That we can, it's not really like our hard boundaries are hard boundaries. Okay. So here, let's take a, somebody makes a request that you don't wear scent around them because it's super, super triggering. It causes allergies, whatever the reason is. And you like wearing scent. Like that's part of how you move in the world and you like the way that that thing smells and that smell makes you happy. And so now we're in a conflict of, I like to smell this way. And the person's like, I don't like you smelling that way. So what do we do? Okay. And now this is just a baby. This is not major, but this is just an example. So what do we do? Okay. Well, then do I want to spend time with the person that is upset with the scent that I choose? If the answer, which one's more important to me, is the, my, me smelling the way I like to smell, or spending time with the person. And again, there's no right answer. I could say, you know what? Actually, I guess we can't spend time together. I guess our relationship is going to have to morph and be a phone relationship and a Zoom relationship where we're not in person. So I can smell like I need to smell. You don't have to, my smell won't, cause any disharmony within you, and we can still have a friendship. That's one option. Another option would be, okay, well, when I'm going to spend time with that person, that I don't wear that particular smell. The third option is to ask the person if there are any scents that they are okay with, whether, so it may be perfume that, you know, causes allergies or triggers. It may be, you know, or it may be a specific scent that causes that reaction. Maybe there's another scent that they like and that's okay. And that you can then negotiate and say, oh, yeah, that's all right. So I'll wear that when I'm around you. Again, see how we're negotiating, but no one needs to be like, again, no one's right, no one's wrong. But we can be respectful of each other's needs. So why do boundaries matter? Why do boundaries matter? Well, often it's the place in which we feel a victim. We feel powerless. We feel not listened to, not important, not heard. It kind of hooks into when we were a child, depending on what your no phase around between the age of 2 and 4, how did your parents and the adults around them handle it? Did they respect your no, or did they ignore your no? Where you learned that you weren't allowed to say no. Depending on what happened in that between 2 and 4 will have a lot to do with how people respecting or not respecting your boundaries will emotionally affect you. It can be from, all right, I got a boundary, you're disrespecting it, you're not in my life anymore, to why don't you love me? I don't feel cared. You don't see me. I'm not important to you. My needs are not a, you know, priority in your life. It can go from, again, like I said, that doesn't really work for me. This is my boundary. This is why. And that person ignores it. Okay, then we can't spend time together. To, I now feel a whole bunch of feelings about it. Like I said, I don't feel loved. I don't feel seen. I don't feel heard. I feel disrespected. How dare you? I'm angry. All these feelings. And when we have all these feelings, what that usually means, not always, but most of the time, is that between the age of 2 and 4, we were not allowed to say no. And we were, our no's were not respected. And so that's why it matters. Right. Now, if you find that you can't set clear boundaries, it's also probably because your no was not respected. And which means that in order to get your needs met, and yet you may feel like people don't respect your boundaries, but you don't really set them. There can be a feeling or a sense that, oh, people should know better. I said I didn't like this. So why are people still doing it? Well, because you didn't do what I talked about. You didn't say, hey, this is important. This is a boundary. Can you respect it? You just in passing said, I don't like this. And number one. Number two, you may spend time or have chosen people in your life that don't really respect other people's boundaries because they don't really respect their own boundaries and they don't really set their own boundaries. So therefore, you actually going through the motions of saying, hey, this is important. This is a boundary. Can you respect it? And they can sit and they say yes, and they still may disrespect your boundary. Which, what do you do with that? Well, this is your opportunity to not be a victim anymore. This is your opportunity to be like, hey, I set a boundary. You didn't respect it. I can't have you around in my life in this capacity. If you want to start respecting my boundaries, then we can talk about spending time together. Otherwise, I wish you the best. And that's it. It doesn't need to be a story. It doesn't need to be a drama. It doesn't need to be an angry. It doesn't need to be sad. You don't have to have like a whole huge range of emotions. And because boundaries matter. And their boundaries are saying, don't say I don't love you or I don't like you. I can love people who can't respect boundaries. I can like people that don't respect boundaries. I can have people that have boundaries that I don't particularly like and I have not agreed to respect. So I don't spend time with them, but I still love them and I still like them. So boundaries and love are not the same thing. You might like, what? I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. All right. Love and like have nothing to do with respect and boundaries. People may not know how to respect boundaries, but they know how to love. And they may know how to love and may know how to be like, but they don't know anything about boundaries. Because again, their 2 to 4 year old was never allowed to say no. Their no wasn't respected. No one else's no was respected. No is just sort of like an opportunity to, you know, convince you to say yes. And there are people like that. And in all fairness, I'm going to admit something. I used to be a person like that. I very much was, no, was like, tell me why, tell me more. And really, does it really have to be a no? Because I don't like hearing no. I still don't like hearing no. However, I've grown a lot and healed a lot and done a lot of work. And so I now want my boundaries respected. So I work hard to respect others' boundaries. Even if I don't agree with them, even if I don't understand them. And if they don't work for me and we can't seem to come to a compromise in the middle where it's like everybody feels good about it, or for me, it's more of like, well, okay, that's your parameters, that's your boundaries. Can I spend time with you under those in that particular way? Or how much time can I spend in a certain period of time of respecting that boundary? And so again, it doesn't mean people don't love you. It doesn't mean people don't like you. It just means that they have issues with boundaries. Probably because between their two and four phase didn't go very well for them either. So, this is what I want to leave you with. I want you to sit down and think about when you have, often when we have relationship conflicts, whether that's in our partnership, relationship with our kids, relationship with our family, relationships at work, coworkers, often when we have relationship disharmony or distress, the first thing is that most of the time is because somebody, A, there's been a bound, there's some boundaries that need to be spoken of, and everybody needs to talk about what they are and own them and ask for what they need. And, or somebody has done that and somebody is blatantly ignoring them. Usually, boundaries are often at the root of most, again, relationship disharmony. So I want you to take a moment and look at the relationships in your life. And if is there a spot in your relationships where there seems to be a lot of disharmony? And if there is there a boundary that you haven't clearly asked for? If there is there a boundary you have clearly asked for and the other person is not, did not agree to respect that boundary, or has decided not to respect that boundary, then you may need to talk about within yourself, well, how much do I want this person in my life? And then can they be like, let's take, for example, the scent issue, right? Okay, well, solution to that problem is that we don't spend time in person. Or often there's people who are on time, and then there's people who are chronically late. All right, that's an often one that gets a conflict. So, all right, I have certain people in my life. I'm very much on time. I tend to try to be exactly on time or a little bit early when I can. And it's very rare if I'm running behind time. And if I am, I give a heads up. That's just because I don't like to be on the receiving end of waiting for people, right? That's part of my boundaries. But hold on, I'm going to circle back about something for a second. Just give me a second to make a note so I remember. Okay. So being late. So and often people who are chronically late, they're consistently chronically late at a certain time. So if it's like 20 minutes late, half an hour late, an hour late, 15 minutes late, 5 minutes late, it's usually a pretty consistent late. Now, there's reasons why we behave those way, and that's a whole other conversation. However, if I have, because being on time is an important thing for me, I try not to, if I can, make friends, people in my life who are chronically late. And if I happen to have people in my life that are chronically late, we have a conversation about, all right, well, if you're chronically late about this amount of time, I'm going to give you the wrong number. I'm going to give you the wrong time frame. And I'm going to put in my head that you're showing up 15 minutes past the time that we negotiated. And if that means that if you happen to show up on time, I won't be ready. Just so that we're clear, I won't be sitting by the door waiting for you. If you actually show up on time, I won't be ready for you because I'm assuming you're going to be 15 minutes late. So that's a way of which we negotiate that. So they're like, okay, fine. I'm chronically late. And I'm like, great. And this is how I'm handling your chronically lateness. It doesn't have to be a thing. Doesn't have to be about, well, my time is valuable, which it is. However, I just know that they're going to be late, so I don't get ready on time. Then, if they happen to be every once in a while, they manage to show up on time, they just have to wait until I'm ready. That's how that works. And again, no one's wrong. I'm not wrong. I'm not angry. I'm not annoyed. I don't feel disrespected. It just is what it is. And I know that often when people have stuff, it's because it's their stuff. It's not usually not because they want to fuck you over or disrespect your boundaries or push the envelope, unless you happen to be somebody like I was, which then that's a whole other, don't be friends with people like that. Unless you're equally okay with pushing their boundaries back. All right. So I don't recommend that. Okay. But most people's stuff is from a place of woundedness, their own experience, their own trauma, their own stuff, which also leads me to what I wanted to talk about before I let you go. Often our boundaries are based in trauma. So when I was talking about the late piece, right, it's a boundary for me that people show up on time. And it's a way in which I like people showing up on time because I show up on time. But underneath, before I like came up with this new way of interacting with those people that are chronically late, I used to feel so hurt and so angry and so disrespected and so not seen. And that's because my parents used to not show up and I'd be waiting and I don't know when they were showing up, or I'd get up and they would be gone and I didn't know when they were coming back. And so for me, that's a childhood trauma trigger. And often our boundaries are from a trauma triggered state, and that we, create boundaries from a place of, well, if I can create this boundary, then I won't be triggered. So yes, and boundaries are important. Asking for what you need is important. But I lovingly invite you to heal the places in which you feel there is trauma. Like I was just talking about people being late, right? That's my trauma that I needed to heal. Until I healed that trauma, I couldn't negotiate with the chronic late people. I just couldn't. They got kicked out of my life. Like there was like a lot of drama that was attached to that because I felt so hurt, so disrespected, and so not loved. And the truth is that the people who are chronically late, they don't want to be chronically late. It's not their desire to be chronically late. There's something going on for them that creates that behavior of chronic lateness, which again is none of my business. However, it's an opportunity for me to heal. When I set a boundary, when I create a boundary, this is the process that I go through. I'm like, okay, this is a hard pass. And then I ask myself, is there trauma attached to that? Is there some reason why this is like absolutely not acceptable on any level whatsoever? And if the answer is usually, not always. So for example, let's take safe sex, for example. That's a hard, if we're not fluid bonded, you're putting a condom on before your penis goes anywhere near me. The end. That's a hard limit, but it's not based out of trauma. It's not based from somebody disrespecting it. It's not based in anything other than my health is important to me. I'm not willing to risk my health for anything. Now, if I had had some experiences that were traumatic, where somebody, I said, wear a condom and they didn't put a condom on, and then I got an STI or an STD from that, that could create a serious level of a trauma loop, which then be like, okay, now I need to heal that because I don't want to have any feelings about shit. I mean, I want to have good feelings, but I don't want to have harboring feelings from the past. There's enough shit that happens on a day-to-day basis for me to process my emotions. There are things that are happening in the moment. I don't know. I don't need to pull up things from my past to aggravate my current situation, which is why I work really hard and support working with people to really clear out the things that happened in the past so that you can just deal with your day to day. All right. So when you're going to set a boundary, ask yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't set the boundary while you're healing it, okay? I'm not saying that if you have trauma that's based in why it's important that, here's a trauma based for many years that I had, okay? So I had a rule that people drinking beer, I didn't want to kiss anybody that drank beer. Because one of my abusers always smelled like beer when they abused me. So it's hard for me to get into sexy when I smell beer, which then triggers my trauma from the past, and therefore I'm not in the present anymore and I'm not having a good time. So I, for many years, had to have all of my partners, if you were they were going to drink, they needed to drink hard liquor, not beer, or drink beer and not make out with me, and no sex time with me if they've drank any beer. And that was an important, I needed to set that boundary while I healed that trauma. Because as long as that, until I completely healed it, it was always at the forefront. Now, does it, I don't have to have a hard limit. Somebody can drink beer and I may not choose, I still will be like that. I don't like that smell. And it may take me a moment, like a split second, to be like, why don't I like that smell? I'm like, oh yeah, because of my own trauma. This is not my abuser. We're good. Okay, good. However, can you please go gurgle with some with some mouthwash? Particularly like the smell of beer. But it's not like I'm not triggered. I'm not in the full state of where I'm brought back into being traumatized. It just may be something that I don't particularly like, and we can work around it versus it was a hard pass. Nobody smelling like beer can get anywhere near making out and having sex with me. So that's an example of where we may have to set a boundary so that we aren't in a constant state of trigger state from our trauma. But as we heal our trauma, the boundary may change instead of it being absolute to like, okay, here's how we move with this differently. Okay, so I think I've explained boundaries. I think I've given you the nuances. If you are struggling, and again, if your no, I really want to honor this, okay? If your no was not respected between the ages of 2 and 4, or if trauma happened and your no was not respected of your body, so like serious no was not respected, then you may not be able to say no, and you may not be able to set a boundary. You may intellectually understand it, but you may not be able to have the skills to do that until you reclaim your trauma, until you heal that trauma and you reclaim your no. And if that is the case, you may need to, and I highly recommend some support, professional support, whether that's with a really awesome therapist. Call me. I can hook you up with some, really great people that'll help you navigate that. If it's really complex, I will even help you work through that. However, it's an important piece because you can't say no if it's not safe to say no. You can't set a boundary if your boundary, if you know that if you set that boundary and somebody disrespects that boundary, that you may be in danger because of past experiences. So, with that being said, it's all great to say, here's my boundary. I want you to respect my boundary. Can you respect it? Give the person an opportunity to say, yes, I can, or no, I can't. And here, how can we meet in the middle? How can we may need to change how we interact with each other? But you may not be able to have that skill until you heal. Okay. So if you find you're listening to this and you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense, but there's no fucking way I could ever do that. There's no way I could say no. There's no way I could set a parameter or boundary. There's no way I could ask somebody to respect my boundary. And there's no way that, or I don't respect others' boundaries. If they say no, it's just more of a like, ooh, how can I get around your no into a yes? Then you got some stuff that probably should be healed. Reach out. I can help you sort that shit out. Because Life is beautiful when there is clear boundaries in your world. And you move by asking for what you want. You get what you want because you ask for what you want. You can say no when people want things from you that don't fit with you or feel good. You can get people to listen to, you know, again, negotiate with you on, okay, well, then we may need to change that interaction so that my boundary is respected and your boundary is respected. And we can still be true to ourselves without compromising who we are. Because that's the other important piece. Just because you set a boundary, and I'm going to say this again, because unfortunately right now we live in a time where if I set a boundary, society expects everybody to respect my boundary because I said it to be so. And that's not fair. And that's not right. And that's not how the world truly works. I have a boundary and others have boundaries. And we happen to cohabitate with each other. And so sometimes our boundaries are not in line with each other. How do we navigate that? How do we respect our own boundaries and respect others' boundaries and being true to ourselves as well as honoring other people's truth? And it's not about bullying somebody into respecting your boundaries or having them bully you into respecting their boundaries. It's about how do we know who we are, stay in our truth, and still respect other people's truth and find room for others' truth to be true. Other boundaries to work for them, and they may not work for me. How do we do that? And as part of being human, we could learn how to do that on a consistent basis. Life would be much different and the world would be much different. And we would probably not have very much war. And there are lots of people, more people would be having greater sex and like all the things would be great. However, I know I talk about it as if it's easy, but we all know it's not. Okay. All right. Good luck. I'm here if you need me. I'm always here if you need me. Stay safe. Communicate, ask for your needs, and set your boundaries and honor others' boundaries where you can. Bye-bye. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course made you feel tingly inside. I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know. Because I'm a little bit of a voyeur, so I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners. Until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.